This afternoon, Matthew chapter number 5 is where we'll find our text at and give you the thought the Lord's given to us for tonight. And y'all pray for us, and we'll give you what God's given to us, and then we'll get out of here. Matthew chapter number 5, if you want to stand and stretch your legs for a minute there, you're welcome to do so at this time. We're going to read a few verses tonight in your company. And then you can leave your Bible open. We'll return to the scriptures as we often do. But we'll begin reading in verse number 33 and read down through the remainder of the chapter. Jesus, again, teaching here on the great Sermon on the Mount. And he says in verse 33, again, you've heard it said that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thine head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will be for the at the law to take away thy coat, cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give unto him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thine neighbor and hate thine enemy. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if we love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Lord, we love you. Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to stand and preach. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to say that which is pleasing in your sight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Over the last few weeks, we have been dealing with the Lord's teachings in Matthew 5 under the heading or the subject of what you have hid in your heart comes out in your life. Again, I remind you that many in Israel at this time appeared to be very spiritual on the outside. The Pharisees were a great example of this. On the outside, they appeared very holy. They appeared very righteous, and they appeared very religious. In fact, everyone in Israel looked up to these men as being good men and godly men. Yet what was on the inside of these men was a different story. What was on the inside and what was on the outside were two different things. If you read through the Gospels, you'll discover this to be true. These Pharisees showed themselves often to be very cold-hearted. Over and over again, they revealed in their heart envy and pride and anger and hatred. Oh, sure, on the outside, they were very religious. They were super hyper-religious. But on the inside, they were not. They were far from God. And their hearts did not match what the outside had to say. Can I say that the same can be said for many church members today? Oh, sure, on the outside, they appear very sanctified. The way they conduct themselves at church, the way they talk, the way they dress, the way they act. Everybody would see them and would say, surely he is a religious person, or surely she is right with God. But every once in a while, they let their guard down and something slips out of their mouth And what you discover is that the inside and the outside are not the same. I remind you that the main thought of this passage of Scripture is found in verse number 20. Jesus said in verse 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see, the Pharisees taught that righteousness consisted of performing certain actions. But Jesus now is teaching that real righteousness does not come from something we do on the outside, but rather righteousness comes from the heart. You see, righteousness is a relationship. Righteousness is knowing Jesus Christ. Righteousness is surrendering your life into the hands of an almighty God and allowing that God to do in you what you can't do for yourself. Righteousness comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the outside. Can I tell you something interesting about this principle? Let me tell you something interesting about this principle. What is interesting about this is that when we get the inside right, the outside just takes care of itself. Here's what we do. I've been around church folk, specifically Baptist folk. I've been around Baptist folk most of my life. I understand the way Baptist people operate. I get them. I'm one of them. I know how they operate. Let me tell you how most Baptist folk operate. Ready for this? This way they operate. They work on the outside because the outside is what their brothers and sisters all see. They work on the outside because they want you to see them as being a certain way. But the reality is that while they spend all that time working on the outside, they forget about the ugly on the inside, and we need to be more worried about what God sees than what our neighbor sees, and we need to get the inside man right. What's in the heart comes out in the life, you see. You see, I can dress a certain way, I can talk a certain way, I can do certain things, and you'll think that everything's right. That doesn't mean everything's right. You know what we ought to do, just in passing? You know what we ought to do every once in a while? We ought to do like David did. David prayed in Psalms 139:23, said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts." You see, David realized something about David. He realized that he did not know David as well as David thought he did. Amen? And therefore, he said, "God, you do the looking, you do the searching, you do the trying, and if you see anything in me that shouldn't be there, show it to me so I can confess it and get it right." Amen. But you know what? I bet most folk won't do that. They won't take the preacher's advice on that. You know why they won't? They're afraid of what they'll discover. Amen. Boy, aren't we having a time in Knoxville tonight. I'm not even finished with my introduction. Y'all already clammed up on me. You might as well, hey, shout or your neighbor will think I'm preaching about you. Amen. Make them think I'm preaching about somebody else. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus once again takes several Old Testament laws and he interprets them in a new light. We have covered two of the things that Jesus talked about. I labeled them this way. We dealt with anger a few weeks ago. You remember that? And I entitled that Injuring Lives. That was our first point, Injuring Lives. This is week three of a one sermon. I'm getting to the end though. Point number one was anger, injuring lives. Point two was lust. We talked about inappropriate lust. Now over the next passage of Scripture, we'll deal with two more things that Jesus gives us under this thought. What's in your heart comes out in your life. Jesus will one more time say, "You have heard it said of them of old." And then he'll reveal a deeper truth, a greater truth, a Bible truth that you and I need to see and need to apply to our lives. I'll give you these two and I'll be finished. I want you to notice this. Number one, I want you to see the teaching on inappropriate language. Inappropriate language.
Look at verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thine head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Jesus now begins to teach them about how they should conduct themselves when it comes to their language. Again, please do not forget that he is still dealing with the issues of the heart. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9, he said that the heart of a man is deceitful above all things. You know what that means? That means that you do not know your heart. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, if I know my heart, well, I've got bad news, sir. I've got bad news, ma'am. You don't know your heart. Jeremiah said that it is deceitful. It is wicked above all things. Your heart is so deceitful, it will even trick you. That's why it is important for God to search our hearts, because God can find things there that we cannot find on our own. But while our hearts are deceitful, while our hearts are tricky, we don't know them, there are a few indicators of what's in your heart. Jesus spelled a couple things that you could kind of use as a gauge as to what was really inside of somebody. You know what the number one thing is, how you can determine what is in a man's heart? By what comes out of his mouth. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. There it is. What's good, what's evil in your heart? But the verse isn't done. It says, for the out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You see, the issue of these verses is that the things coming out of their mouth were a good indication of what was in their heart, and what was in their heart was not pleasing in the eyes of God. Amen. You see, people like to play games and put on masks. But every once in a while, they open that mouth in a fit of anger, or when something don't go their way, and they open that mouth, and what's buried down inside their heart, they don't want anybody to see, all of a sudden comes out. Amen. I'm talking about inappropriate language. I want you to notice this. Letter A, I want you to see their manner of swearing. Jesus tells them in these verses, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say unto you, verse 34, swear not at all. Allow me to say just, I guess, to help you understand what we're talking about here. This is not, Jesus is not, in verse 33 and 34, talking about using those four-letter words, those cuss words that you'd wash your children's mouth out with soap if you heard them say. He is not talking about that. But time out. I want to say something about that. You ought to watch what comes out of your mouth. And a child of God ought not handle the same language that this world handles. Amen? If you would wash your kid's mouth out with soap and bust their tail for saying that word, you shouldn't say that word, sir. You shouldn't say that word, ma'am. Hey, man, you see, we are a representative of another country. We are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't want to handle any kind of language that would cause somebody else to look at me and look at my life and have a bad image of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, of Northside Baptist Church, of the child of God in general. I wouldn't want to say anything that bring a shame upon the cause of Christ. Amen? Yeah, watch what you say. The sin, however, of this verse is not the sin of using cuss words. The sin of this verse is the sin of using an oath to affirm a truth. The Pharisees were careful. The Pharisees were careful not to use the name of the Lord in swearing. because they knew it was against the law. Leviticus 19:12, you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. You see, they knew they could not use the name of the Lord in swearing. So they would say other things. They would skirt around this principle, this Bible truth. They would say things like this: I swear by Jerusalem. I swear by my head. I swear by, and they would have on and on and on. I swear by heaven. I swear by earth. You see, Jesus said, don't swear by heaven, it's God's throne. Don't swear by the earth, it's his footstool. Don't swear by Jerusalem, it's his holy city. Don't swear by your head. You can't turn your hairs white. God's in control of all that. Don't use any of those things in swearing. You say, what's that got to do with me? You ever heard this? Now, I swear on my life. I swear on my mother's grave, I'm telling you the truth. I swear on the Bible. You ever heard? Lord have mercy. These Pharisees were skirting the law, and Jesus is saying, you shouldn't have to swear at all. I'll tell you why in just a minute. I'm getting there, but I want you to see their means of swearing. I swear by Jerusalem. You see, what they were doing is they were taking something they knew was wrong, and they just kind of, not really doing that thing, but just getting real close to it and just, you know, just barely not doing it. You know something else these Pharisees were guilty of? These Pharisees were guilty of having this mentality. If somebody was to swear or affirm an oath, if I was to stand up and give a testimony about something or against someone else, they would first swear me in. We do that in our courts today. We put our right hand on the Bible. I swear, tell the truth, hold truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Well, they do the same thing. Do you swear that you're telling the truth? And they knew if they had been asked to swear that they had to tell the truth about what they were saying. But if nobody swore them, it didn't matter what they said. That's the way the Pharisees looked at it. If they weren't given an official statement, if they weren't being sworn, then in their mind, it didn't matter if they told the truth or not. You see, a lot of people believe as long as they don't tell it too bad of a lie, it's not too bad. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, it was just a little white lie. You know, I didn't lie. I just didn't tell the whole truth. Amen? Y'all might as well say amen. That's the truth. I used to work for a lady. Many years ago, I heard her say something. Surprised me. Real surprised when I heard her say it, because I thought she was a good Christian lady. Went to a church here in Knoxville. I thought she was right with God. And then I heard her say this. I heard her tell somebody at work, a customer, Brother Eddie, she lied to him about something. And when somebody said something about when it was over with, I guess she got to feeling bad about what she had lied about. And this is what she said. She said, well, that was different. That was a business lie. That was a business lie. That's what she said. I'm sorry. I didn't know there was a difference in a regular lie and a business lie. I didn't find that in my Bible. Maybe y'all found it. I didn't. I didn't find any white lies in the Bible. I didn't find any partial truths. It's yes or no, yay or nay. You telling the truth or you're not. Amen. I see their manner of swearing, but watch this, letter B. I think we should mean what we say. I think we should mean what we say. Notice the principle now in verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Instead of having to use a swear as a crutch, we should just have honest characters. Since words are valued by character, our character should be such that we do not need to swear to affirm a truth. If I tell you something, Grandpa, I should not have to say, Grandpa, I swear I'm telling you the truth. Should never have to say that. You know why? I should just always tell the truth. I have to question whether I'm telling him right or wrong. You see, that's what Jesus meant when he said, let your yea be yea, yea, or nay, nay. You know what he's saying? He's saying, just mean what you say all the time. I'd rather be honest all the time. Amen? I'd rather just be honest all the time. I thought about it. You know, I'd rather be honest all the time for at least two reasons. Two reasons. You know why I'd want to be honest all the time? I'd want to be honest all the time because I am not smart enough to remember all the lies that I told. I would hate to think that if somebody come and asked me something, I would have to, in my mind, begin to process, now what did I tell them? What did I say to them? Did I tell them this or did I tell them that? I couldn't keep up with all that nonsense. Some of y'all must be better liars than me. I can't do all, I don't have the brain, mental capacity to keep up with who I told what. I'd rather just tell the truth. That way, if you come and ask me about something, I can answer you and know I'm telling you what I told you the last time I told you, because I'm always telling you the truth. Lord, have mercy, just tell the truth. Amen. You know why else? I give you another reason. I'd want always tell the truth. I'd hate to think that somebody heard me say something and question whether I was saying truth or not. I've got a wife sitting right over here. And you know something? I want to always be with her honest. You know why? Because I don't want the day to ever come where I tell her something and she has to question whether I'm telling her the truth or not. I want to just always tell her the truth, whether it's what she wants to hear or not. Just tell her the truth all the time, and then she never has to question. I want to tell you all the truth because I don't want any one of you all to ever have to think, I wonder if that preacher's being honest or not. What I say may hurt your feelings, and I'm sorry if it does. I'm trying to learn to say in a nicer manner. I promise I am. My wife's working on me. Y'all pray for her. It's a hard job. I'm trying to be nicer. Lord, help me, I am. I'll tell you something just because it's what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. In fact, there's in our family that they won't ask Josh about certain things. Because they know Josh tells the truth. Amen. This hat looks stupid I'm wearing. Don't ask me that question. If you don't ask me, I don't have to tell you. But I wouldn't want you all to question whether I was telling the truth or not. I go to work several days a week. I don't want them people I work with to question whether I'm telling the truth or not. I don't want them to question how honest I am. Amen. A few years ago, come to my mind a few years ago, the place I was working at. One morning, the boss got counting the money in the cash box, and it come up $200 short. $200 short. Now, you got to understand, in this company, there's me, the guy I work for, and his two daughters. That's it. One of us took $200 out of the cash box. But you know the one person he never asked about that money? Me. In fact, I overheard him talking to his daughter. He was accusing her of taking the money out of the cash box. He said, I know it wasn't me, and I know Josh wouldn't take the $200 out of the cash box. It had to be you. He's accusing his own daughter instead of me. Be honest. Amen. What's wrong with being honest? Amen. Just tell the truth at all times. You don't have to worry about swearing. Amen. It's interesting. James, in James chapter 5, is talking to the church, and he's telling them to prepare their hearts. In James 5, because the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And because the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh and they're to prepare their hearts, James begins to list out for them things they should do. They need to endure affliction. They need to pray. They need to confess their faults. And right smack dab in the middle of these things they need to do to prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord, he says this, James 5:12. Above all things, meaning this is the most important, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. He said, the Lord's coming to get some things right. Start out with your truth. Just tell the truth. Amen. That great preacher of yesterday, Dr. Adrian Rogers, what a great man of God Dr. Rogers was. Dr. Adrian Rogers one time said this. He said, it is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts then kills. It is not love, it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. Dr. Rogers went on to say, it is impossible to find anyone in the Bible who was a power for God who did not have enemies and was not hated. It is better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. It is better ultimately to succeed with truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie. Tell the truth. I see not only our inappropriate language, but I'll give you this and I'm finished. I see our ineffable love. An ineffable love. Verse 38, verse 39. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. The word ineffable means something is too great to be expressed in words, is what that word means. The love in the closing part of Matthew 5 is greater than words can express. The love in the last part of Matthew 5, I'll be honest with you, it is a difficult love. But that is what makes it so great, is its difficulty. Notice this letter A. Notice the response. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. The original law is found in Leviticus 24, 19 through 22. The law prevented someone from forcing another to pay a greater price than what an offense deserved. It also prevented people from taking revenge upon themselves personally. Instead, they were to rely on the judgment of God. One last time, Jesus takes this principle and he brings it to an attitude. I'll be honest with you. The attitude that Christ teaches in these verses is hard. Basically, Jesus says this. You should be willing to take a loss yourself instead of causing someone else to suffer loss. That's not easy, is it? It's not easy for me to suffer just to prevent you from suffering. But that's what I've been called upon to do. When we retaliate a wrong, we do it because we think it's going to make us feel better. But all it does is make us and the other person feel worse. You see, retaliation brings war, not peace. And when somebody harms you, you think, if I could just tell them what I think, it'd make things better. No, it won't make things better. It will make things worse. This principle summed up in verse 39. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Can you think about something with me, please? If I You know, we've got this fight or flight mentality. Somebody harms me, I can either run or I can fight. One of the two. But for someone to harm me and me simply to turn the other cheek, it means this. It means that I stay where I am. Because you harm me, that doesn't mean I run and I hide in a corner somewhere. There have been people that have come to church and they've got hurt by somebody in church, and it shouldn't be that way. Shame on any person that is a Christian that sets out to harm another Christian. Shame on you. But it's going to happen. You'll come into this church building at some point and somebody will say something that will hurt your feelings. And what's happened to many people is they've come into church, somebody said something that hurt their feelings, but instead of being a big boy or a big girl, they go home and say, I'm never going to that church again. But for me to turn the other cheek means I stay right here. And that's not easy to do. It's not easy to walk into a church and somebody intentionally hurts you and you just stay right there. It happens in families too. It's not just church. Somebody in your family, I promise you, it's the people you're closest to. I don't know why, but those people you're closest to, somebody in your family, a child, a sibling, a parent, they'll say something to you and you'll think to yourself, I don't ever want to see them again. But you stay right there. Amen. I can't run and hide. It takes faith to stay in love. For me to turn the other cheek means that I'm going to get hurt on the outside. Sure does. Means I'm going to get hurt on the outside. But it's better to be hurt on the outside, harm on the inside. Somebody lied to you and they said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I've been called upon by the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me. That when I'm hurt, to suffer that hurt and not retaliate. By staying where I am, you know what else that gives me the opportunity to do? It gives me the opportunity to win that offending brother or sister back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, if you hurt me and I run and I hide and I stay myself, I can't be an example for Christ in front of you. And I can't win you back to God. Amen. I wrote this down in my notes. A strong person is one that is able to bear violence. The weak person is the one who only thinks of themselves, lashes out, shows their temper, and hurts others. The weak person hurts, then runs away. The strong person takes the hurt and stays. I see the response. You hurt me. And I just turned the other cheek. But not only do I see the response, I see the reason. The reason's in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. You see, the reason is summed up in verse 44. And it's a four-letter word. And it's the word love. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Allow me to say something to you. You cannot show me one passage of Scripture anywhere in the Bible where the Scripture teaches a supporting of us hating our enemies. Instead, Jesus says, you should love them. You say, who is my enemy? You can picture your enemy as who they are. They're the one that curses you. Chapter 5. They're the one that hates you. Chapter 5. They're the one that exploits you. That's your enemy. You know them by what they do. They smite you on the cheek. They sue you for your coat. They ask you to lend them something when you don't feel comfortable lending. They want you to go out of your way to help them every chance they get. They are your enemy. What are you supposed to do with them? Love them. Jesus loved us when we were not on friendly terms with Him. Romans 5:10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, Jesus died for you when you were His enemy. Love those that curse you. Do good to that person that hurts you. Pray for that person that sets out to be your enemy. Praying for them will make it a lot easier to love them. Let me show you this. I'm done. According to verse 46, to love those that show you love, or to love those that only love you, to only salute those that salute you, that anybody can do that. That's easy. It's easy if you love me, for me to love you back. That's easy to do. But to love that person that hurts you, that's tougher. But watch what it does. Verse 45, it shows maturity and proves that you are a son of the Father, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It is God-like. Therefore, it creates an environment in which God can share His blessing. When God sends rain in the Bible, it is a picture of blessings. And it gives a good testimony to those that are around you. Be therefore perfect. You see, what we have hidden in our heart comes in our life. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, I wonder if there's anybody who needs to pray. We dealt with two issues. Maybe God's dealt with you about something else. I don't know. But our two thoughts were these. We need to be truthful. We need to be loving even when somebody is not loving to us. And maybe somebody needs to come pray and say, God, give me a godly character. I've not had the character I should have lately. God, let me have godly character. Let me be truthful in all my ways. Maybe somebody else needs to come and say, God, somebody has hurt me. God, it is hard for me to love them, but that is what You've called me to do. And so therefore, Lord, I want to pray for strength to love my enemy. Maybe you want to come pray for somebody. Somebody that's hurt you, somebody that's done you wrong, somebody that's mistreated you. Maybe that's... Let me say it this way. When I describe that person that's hurt you and mistreated you and done you wrong, is there somebody that comes to your mind? Did somebody's face flash in front of your mind? If so, you ought to get up out of your seat and come down here and pray for yourself to have the right attitude and then pray for them. Anybody like that? These altars are open. I'm going to pray. I don't know about you all. You can do what you want to do.